This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, March 18th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News. We'll also have a look at your rainy AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, a look at today's news. Illinois Supreme Court is slated to hear complaints about Governor Rod Blagojevich's three-year-old order requiring pharmacists to dispense emergency contraception. A group of pharmacists is asking the court to block the rule. It says the so-called morning-after pill prevents contraception and is tantamount to abortion. But circuit and appellate courts have ruled the group has no standing to file a lawsuit because the pharmacists have not lost their jobs or suffered other repercussions because of it. The pharmacists countered that they should be able to challenge the rule before they either violate their consciences by filling prescriptions or break the law by refusing to. The court will hear the arguments later in the day. Governor Blagojevich says he's still willing to talk about gambling expansion to pay for a statewide construction program. He says he won't rule it out if others want to talk about more casinos to raise revenue to build roads, bridges, and schools, but he says his idea to partially lease the state lottery is better. The only thing Blagojevich says he's ruling out is raising taxes to pay for an infrastructure program. The governor proposed an $11 billion state capital plan as the centerpiece of his recent budget address. Just a few months ago, everyone was talking about gambling expansion until feuding between Blagojevich and some lawmakers doomed the idea. Republican Representative Angelo Skip Saviano of Elmwood Park says he expects gambling expansion will come up again. The low bid for building a new 600-space parking deck in downtown Champaign is higher than the original estimate, but lower than the original bids. The city council votes on the construction bid tonight. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
The M2 building, now under construction, is expected to bring more cars to downtown Champaign, so the city is building the Hill Street parking deck next door. But construction bids came in way above the city's $9.15 million estimate. The city called for bids again and received a low bid, $10.59 million, that's still more than $1 million above their estimate. Deputy City Manager Craig Rost says they can make that amount work by trimming costs, borrowing more money, and finding more tax increment financing funds. Another option would be a smaller parking deck, 500 parking spaces instead of 600. But Rost says that would be unwise for downtown Champaign.
We think it's short-sighted to build the smaller deck in light of development pressure and, you know, things that are happening up there. I've done this long enough to know that we would regret that in a few years and wish we had 100 more parking spaces in the deck.
Rost says if the Champaign City Council approves the bid tonight, work on the new parking deck could start in a matter of days. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
A military helmet that monitors brain activity could be worn by many soldiers serving in Iraq by next year. It's under development by two University of Illinois professors. The Department of Defense-funded project is in response to the large number of blast-related head injuries. Speech and hearing professor Kenneth Watkins says many who are exposed to these explosions may have what appears to be a mild concussion, but it's not known for sure for many hours or days. He says tiny sensors in the helmets would monitor the condition of the soldier in real time and quickly relay the information to a local field hospital.
They'll know what happened with their heart rate, what happened with the oxygen saturation cortically or in the brain, and how the electrical signals of the brain have changed. Our goal over this, once we start the project itself, our goal is to distill all that data and make it easy to read and understandable by field personnel.
The U of I research and development of the helmet was recently funded by a Department of Defense concept award of just over $100,000. Watkin notes that the U.S. Army does have some sensor-equipped helmets in use in Afghanistan, but they only record results every 30 days, limiting their effectiveness. Watkin and U of I engineering professor Ravi Iyer are expected to begin their work on the helmet this summer, with hopes of having it ready for use about a year later. Illinois State Treasurer Alexi Janulius wants to put limits on companies that claim to help people find abandoned money and belongings. Jenna Dooley has more.
Illinois has a procedure in place to help individuals who lose track of money deposited in a bank account or who forget that they purchased stocks. Once property goes unclaimed for 5 years, it goes in a public listing maintained by the state treasurer. But in the meantime, private firms often get involved. They seek out consumers and offer to help them get their property back, but only for a fee, sometimes up to half of the property's value. Treasurer Alexi Janulius says it's an unreasonable price to pay.
The bottom line, Illinois consumers shouldn't have to spend their own money to find what's already rightfully theirs.
Once it's in the treasurer's possession, there's no fee to reclaim lost property. A measure before the General Assembly would put a 10% cap on the fee a finder's firm can charge a consumer. I'm Jenna Dooley.
Former President Bill Clinton will campaign for his wife at rallies in three Indiana cities today. Clinton will join former Democratic Governor Joe Kernan and former Indiana First Lady Judy O'Bannon for stops in Lawrenceburg, Richmond, and Fort Wayne. Hillary Clinton plans a trip to Indiana on Thursday. She plans to be in Terre Haute, the hometown of Senator Evan Bayh, as well as Anderson, New Albany, and Evansville. Clinton and Illinois Senator Barack Obama are battling for Indiana's 72 delegates in the state's May 6th primary. Obama visited Plainfield for a town hall meeting Saturday. A lawsuit says that proceeds from the auction of seats, pieces of turf, and even urinals from the soon-to-be-demolished RCA Dome should go to taxpayers, not charity. The suit filed by an Indianapolis law firm asks a judge to freeze the auction proceeds that are to go to the Indianapolis Colts Foundation and the Indiana Sports Corporation. An attorney says that more than $1 million the auction may raise should go to pay off the debt on the dome. The agency that owns and operates the dome says the charities deserve the auction proceeds because they're handling the auction and the Colts are allowing their name and logo to be put on the items. The RCA Dome is scheduled to be demolished and replaced by the new Locus Oil Stadium. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bonser. Ever since the story broke about Elliot Spitzer's involvement in a prostitution ring, there's been talk of the Mann Act and its attempt to criminalize the transportation of prostitutes across state lines. As commentator Amy Guida explains in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News, the Mann Act and the early cases that interpret it offer almost as good a story as recent headlines.
The seemingly unremarkable criminal complaint that sent Client 9, a.k.a. New York Governor Elliot Spitzer, into early retirement uses a number-letter combination to lay out two key charges against those accused of running a prostitution ring. Title 18, Sections 2421 and 2422A. That statute also has a name. It's known as the Mann Act, and that's Mann with a double N for those who enjoy wordplay. It's the federal statute, originally called the Mann White Slave Traffic Act, that makes transportation for illegal sexual activity and related crimes a crime in itself. It used to read this way, words reported by an early court. Any person who shall aid or assist in procuring any ticket or any form of transportation to be used by any girl or woman in interstate commerce in going to any place for the purpose of prostitution or debauchery or for any immoral purpose shall be deemed guilty of a felony. If prostitution is the world's oldest profession, the Mann Act is relatively new to the game. Congress passed the law in 1910. The statute's still around, not only because recent events seem to indicate that we're still in need of it, but because the United States Supreme Court upheld the law very early on, in 1913, in a case in which one Effie Hoke and a male accomplice unlawfully, feloniously, and knowingly persuaded one Annette Baden, alias Annette Hayes, a woman, to go from New Orleans to Beaumont, Texas, for the purpose of, well, you know. The defendants had argued that the Mann Act was unconstitutional because, among other things, people have certain rights to behave in certain ways. The justices found that Congress had the power to enact such a law and responded simply, "Persons' rights cannot fortify or sanction their wrongs." That was only one of the early cases in which the High Court heard and promptly discounted defendants' attacks on the Mann Act, fortifying a law that would lead many years later to a complaint containing the tantalizing stories of 10 numbered clients. The opinions often read like stories from old detective magazines. When some defendants had argued that the police had used the wrong names in the indictment in one case, changing Murdy to Nellie and Estelle to Stella, in what perhaps was that generation's versions of Kristen, the justices upheld the convictions. A later case, one in which the plaintiffs had argued that they could not be guilty of violating the Mann Act because they transported a 17-year-old to live the life of a simple chorus girl, found the justices dwelling on the question of the defendant's ultimate intent and whether this charge to a jury was proper. What was the intent with which they brought her? That she should live an honest, moral, and proper life? Or that she came and they engaged and contracted with her for the purpose of her entering a condition which might be termed debauchery? The justices found the defendant's criminal convictions perfectly proper, crediting the girl with similar propriety, resisting the allure of another, coarser route in life. The statutory language and the language in the cases and indictments that stem from it aren't as flowery today, reported only as a number-letter combination in a recent key filing, but the same idea behind the original statute remains. And come to think of it, the same colorful underlying facts sometimes remain, as the Elliot Spitzer saga makes clear. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. Our wet forecast for the region calls for occasional rain, isolated thunderstorms today, the high around 52 degrees. There's a chance of rain near 100%. The temperatures will slowly fall this afternoon as well. Showers and a chance of thunderstorms this evening, then periods of showers after midnight, the low around 38. Mostly cloudy tomorrow. There's a chance of rain in the morning with a high around 45. Mostly cloudy Wednesday evening, the low around 28. Mostly sunny Thursday, the high around 48. Mostly cloudy Thursday evening, the low around 35. Cloudy Friday, a chance of rain, the high around 48 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, March 18th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.